This episode of Stick Like Glue Radio is brought to you by Jim Palmer's Dream Business Mastermind and Coaching Program. Now is the time to create your dream business, and Jim Palmer is the perfect business coach to help you get that done. Jim offers three different coaching programs, and as a member of his mastermind group, you'll also benefit from the advice, wisdom, and inspiration of other successful entrepreneurs. This is a group of action takers, so if you're tired of slow to no growth and are ready to finally grow your dream business, go to www.dreambizcoaching.com. That's www.dreambizcoaching.com.
This is John Taffer from Bar Rescue, and you're listening to Stick Like Glue Radio.
Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Marketing and business building expert Jim Palmer, known internationally as the Newsletter Guru, is a serial entrepreneur, author, speaker, and coach to other entrepreneurs. Jim is the host of Newsletter Guru TV, a weekly web TV show featuring Jim's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice. Check it out today at www.newsletterguru.tv. Please welcome your host of Stick Like Glue Radio, Jim Palmer.
Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Stick Like Glue Radio. This is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Those are all great things in any business. I am your host, your dream business coach, Jim Palmer. I'm always committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. I'm really excited about this week's show. My special guest is Tim David. He is a very successful magician, writer, and speaker. Let me tell you briefly about Tim, and then we'll bring him right on. Tim David, as I said, is a longtime professional magician, writer, speaker. His hobby is inventing and teaching magic to other magicians. In addition to performing, he likes working with other magicians, and he told me right before we went on, he did 120 speaking gigs just last year, so he's probably got quite a lot of miles on his airline card there. Tim specializes in coin work, applied magic theory, psychology, presentation style, creativity, and giant oversized head effects. Got to ask him what that's about. Tim's also a speaker, as I mentioned, and writer. And most recently, he published Magic Words, How to Truly Connect with Your Prospects, Your Employees, and Your Kids in a World Where Connection is Vanishing. Hey, Tim, thanks so much for being my guest on this week's episode of Stick Like Glue Radio.
Absolutely, Jim. Thanks so much for having me. Looks like you did some research and dug up some old websites, which is amusing.
Well, you know, as busy as I am, I like to give at least 30 seconds to show prep. Just kidding. No, I checked out your websites, your books. You got a lot going on. I had no idea you were doing so many speaking gigs. I guess I've thought of you for years as a magician, but you got so much else going on.
Yeah, you know, we met back in 2009, Jim, and that's when I was really beginning my transition from being an entertainer, or what I like to say, being a novelty, towards being a speaker, or like I say, being a necessity. So, you know, corporations were viewing my entertainment as something that is take it or leave it, so I had to adapt. Obviously, that was the 2008, 2009, the economy was really crashing, and I also found really that speaking was more my passion. You know, I had a message I could share and lessons that I had learned from the road as a magician, from operating a business as a solopreneur, and I wanted to share those with people and really hopefully make a difference in people's lives and families and businesses and workplace, and really the rest is history, I guess. I've been on the road doing that ever since.
You know, I'm really glad when your name crossed my desk from my show coordinator, because I remember you. We met in 2009 at our mutual friend Eric Paul, who unfortunately passed and left the earth way too early. But what a great influence he had on a lot of people. And you know, one of the great lessons Eric taught was to, you know, it's important to niche yourself, but it's also important to have multiple streams of revenue and do different things. So it looks like you've really done that in a big way. Tell us a little bit about your background. I mean, were you like a kid doing coin tricks, or when did you get into magic? And then, you know, officially, I guess, you know, let's just use 18 as a barometer. When did you decide to be an entrepreneur instead of getting a job and doing things on the side?
Sure. Growing up, my mother was an accountant, very regimented. You know, my older brother became a sound engineer, now works for Bose Speaker Corporation. Once again, an engineer, sort of regimented and, get their ducks in a row. My father just retired this week, but he was a nuclear physicist, worked for the Navy designing nuclear submarines. pretty regimented. So you got a glimpse into my childhood right there. So naturally, the obvious course was for me to become a professional magician. It just made sense, you know. My parents and my family had very different views and very different goals for me. You know, they wanted me to go to college, get my degree, and start my career, right? And because my dad's like, you're going to have bills that you're going to have to pay. I'm like, Dad, I got this covered. I'm making like $100 a show. This is the best idea ever. My friends are making $6 an hour. I'm making $100. You know, I'm 16, 17 years old. And it was a lot of money. But I'll never forget what he said to me. Yeah, but how many shows are you doing? How many hours are you working? It's great per hour, but can you do this? Can you sustain this? You really should find something more realistic. And I know that a lot of your listeners probably have had similar experiences. Maybe they didn't want to become a professional magician, but there are people telling them, you got to be more realistic, right? You got to find something that's sustainable or that works.
You know. Tim, yeah. I know you got a growing family. That's what parents do. I mean, the thing about it is, as parents, we love our kids, and my parents certainly love me, and they want what's best for us. But what I'm learning, I mean, I'm 56 now. My kids are kind of growing and gone. But what I've learned as I get older, you know, that whole thing, oh, my gosh, am I becoming my parent? But we tend to see things through, safer eyes as we get older. And real quick story. It's kind of unrelated but funny. My brother, like 30 years ago, my older brother was on course to be a butcher, moving up in the Kroger supermarket chain down in the South, and he quit this full-time job with benefits and a career path to become a part-time mechanic on this small startup that had a very small fleet of trucks. That was FedEx when they very first started. Awesome. He just retired as a vice president. So sometimes dads don't always have the best opinions, you know.
But they do have their hearts in the right places, and I knew that my dad really wanted the best for me. He said, Tim, this is fine as a hobby when you were 10, but you're going to have bills that you're going to have to pay. It's, you know, the real world is coming. And, you know, I could tell when I told him that I wanted to be a professional magician, his face just dropped. It was not what he wanted to hear in the least. But he said something really specific. He brought me over to the kitchen table, and he spread out all the bills for the month. And he grabbed his calculator, and Mr. Science Man tried to proceed to logic my dream out of me. He punched a few numbers, and he calculated right then and there it was going to cost me $800 per month to live at his house. So there was a new policy instituted. Yeah, $800 a month in rent. Unfortunately, he said it's either rent or go back to school, and I chose to pay the rent. And it's a good thing I did. Now, but for a long time, Dad was right. I was struggling to make ends meet. I accumulated $16,000 worth of credit card debt very, very quickly. But to make a long story very, very short, I ended up hooking up with Dave D, which is, you know, Eric, Paul, and I's mutual friend at the time. And he had a program that taught magicians how to make the jump from part-time to full-time. And I learned about marketing, and I realized there's a skill that I need to learn. There's something that I don't know that I need to know. And hopefully, again, as people are listening to this, I can introduce them to, you know, maybe a skill set or shine a spotlight on something that maybe you didn't think was important before, but now you realize, hey, maybe this is a dial turner. Maybe this is a difference maker. This is something that, you know, worked for other people. Maybe it's something that can work for me. And I feel like sometimes learning as adults isn't really about learning something entirely new. Sometimes it's about relearning or rediscovering or opening our mind to something small that can make a huge difference. And I knew about business, right? I mean, Dave taught me, look, show business is two words. It's show and it's business. Business is the bigger word, right? You got the show, you need the business. And I was all excited by that. I realized this is a skill that I knew about, but I didn't know was important. So that's, again, kind of what I hope to share with your listeners today is something that they didn't realize would be as important as it is today.
You know, after seeing your TEDx talk and now with your new book, and congratulations on that, it's obvious to me that connection is really important to you. You know, that really resonated with me because I'm not sure if when you heard me speak if I mentioned it, but, you know, with me talking about newsletters, print and mail, and you know, staying in contact with customers, clients, patients, et cetera, and of course, family, you know, this digital world that we live in, you know, I think I might have told the story how on one of my birthdays, I did get a card in the mail. I got two phone calls from my kids, and my oldest kid sent me a text message. And I was like, wow, that's a real connection right there. And it stunned me a little bit because it makes a good story today, but it stunned me a little bit because I'm thinking to myself, wait, he's holding his phone to send me the text message. Why didn't he just call me? And so I'm interested to hear, you know, why don't you go on for a little bit. Tell us about connection. Why do you think connection is vanishing?
Well, I mean, to be honest, the quantity of human connection is skyrocketing. I mean, we have devices in our pockets. We can reach in and pull out our phones and access our Facey Spaces and our MyTubes over the interwebbies and reach out and touch just about any person on planet Earth right now. Right? The problem is, as the quantity of human connection has skyrocketed, what has happened to the quality of human connection? I mean, it's disappeared, right? It's vanishing.
Yeah.
And in fact, there are some graphs that you'll find just shocking, Jim. In fact, this comes from a research psychologist by the name of Sarah Conrath. She studies empathy, you know, empathy and more specifically empathic concern. So this is the ability to feel what other people are feeling and to care about it, all right? And if you look at her graph, and I posted it on my website, which is magicwordsbook.com, there's nothing to sign into. You can just go there and see the graph. It is shocking. I mean, what has happened to human empathy over the last 30 years? And her research is rock solid. I mean, there's a bunch of different studies up there that you'll see, three different graphs, in fact, empathy, narcissism, and perspective-taking ability. And that really boils down to what human connection is all about. For me, you know, because it's not just a personal thing about wanting to connect with other people. It's not just a deep psychological need for us to connect with other people. We are absolutely social creatures. Look what's happening with social media, and I mean, this is we are deeply social, and we want to connect. And we know at the end of our lives, we're going to look back and we're going to think about our connections, right, and not about our collections. We realize that it's possible to accumulate too much stuff in this world. But it's impossible to accumulate too much human connection. So we know it's important on a personal level. But the truth is, I mean, it's also very, very relevant in our society and in our culture on a business level as well. We need salespeople who can actually connect with their prospects rather than just going after a commission, right, and beating them over the head with some persuasion techniques. We need more. You know, gosh, think about teachers. We need teachers who can connect with their students rather than just trying to teach to a test, right? We need managers who can connect with their employees. We need doctors who can connect with patients. If we want business to succeed, right, we need to be able to connect with our customers. So this is something that truly permeates everything, and the fact that it's disappearing makes it even more important and even more powerful to connect in a way that truly connects with other people. And that's the challenge that most of us have. Most of us really struggle being able to get outside of our own box, outside of our own head, outside of our own little world or our own perspective, and step into the shoes of someone else and see things how other people see them. And that's really what my work is really all about. And it took me a long time to figure that out. I mean, even after the book was published, I'm just sort of realizing this. You know, Jim, when you publish a book, you do all kinds of radio interviews, and people ask you all kinds of questions, and some people dig really, really deep. And I figured it out. That's the heart of what I'm really teaching with my books, my online courses. Really, everything boils down to perspective taking. And I want to talk a little bit more about that, if you'll allow me, a little later on. But that's why connection is just so, so important to me.
You know, somewhere in the you know, to be honest with you, I didn't get through the whole book, but I was kind of going through it before we talked, and there was something in there about seven words. Well, refresh my memory. What were you talking about, these seven words?
Yeah, the seven words basically are truly seven principles of psychology. That's what they really are. The words are great. I mean, they're strings of letters, right? And the title of the book is Magic Words, and they certainly do have some magic behind them, but it's not the letters, it's not the pronunciation. In fact, if you translate these words into other languages, they'll have the same effect, the same power, the same impact, because these are universal, truths about humans. All right, it's what makes us who we are. And the reason we care, about psychology, is because, again, as business owners, we have a challenge, and the challenge is really can be boiled down to the question: how do we get people to do stuff? Right? This is the biggest challenge that faces us. We need to get our customers to purchase more of our products and more often. Right? We need to get our employees to do what we ask them to do, and not expect extra bonuses or, you know, rewards above and beyond just their regular pay. Like, we need to be able to get people to do stuff, right? And the technology of getting people to do stuff has advanced in recent years. We know a lot more about the brain. It's like we've learned more about the brain in the past 3 to 5 years than we have in the previous 3,000 years put together, right? I mean, but when I say we, I had nothing to do with it. I mean, neuroscientists, people, humans, right? We know so much more about the brain than we did before. We know so much more about what drives people to action, what motivates people, and ultimately, what gets people to do stuff, okay? So these seven words really are seven principles that help to do that. So I'm going to give you the list of the words. The words themselves, without the understanding behind them, are going to seem so innocent, so benign, so ordinary, and so unmagical that, you know, you may be tempted to dismiss them. The words are yes, but, if, because, help, thanks, and then the last one is the person's name, whatever the person's name is. So these are the seven magic words, and again, I hesitate to just give them off as a list because there's a reason there's a whole book about it, right? It's not just a list. And the reason is because it's really the seven psychological principles behind each one of those words that makes them magical. And that's what we have to understand as business owners. We have to understand the psychology of what moves people to action, and this is a real exciting time for us in the field of neuroscience, in the field of psychology. And it's gonna make a big difference to a lot of people.
That's awesome. So, is there one word that might be? I know you can't go into all seven now because we're down about 10 minutes. Is there one word or maybe two words, Tim, that might be more important than the rest? And I'm guessing it might be the name or yes or thanks. That'd be my guess.
Yeah. Oh gosh, it's so hard to pick. You know, when the book was featured on the Today Show, they had their choice, right? New York Times had their choice. Huffington Post had their choice. So it really depends on who you ask, right? A lot of people go with the word because. And Simon Sinek would agree. You know, his book is called Start With Why. And when you tell people a why or a because, right, it's a reason. It's a purpose, right? Rick Warren would also agree, having a purpose-driven life. You know, so having a reason behind something is surprisingly magical. And in Cialdini's book, Influence the Psychology of Persuasion, he talks about the power of the word because, and Harvard University psychologist Ellen Langer's famous study about trying to cut in line at the copy machine. I don't know if you remember this, Jim, but basically she tried to cut in line and she said, excuse me, may I please cut in line? And people would say no, very often, right? But they would also say yes, I believe about 64% of the time. And then she added a reason. And as soon as she added a reason, may I please make some copies because, or may I please go before you because I'm in a rush. The compliance rate shot from 64% to 94%. It went way up. Suddenly people were very happy to let her cut in line, right, because she had a reason. And then she did something really interesting. Like, that doesn't surprise anybody, right? But this is the part that surprises people. She removed the reason, but left in the word because. And when she removed the reason and left in the word because, for example, she said, excuse me, may I please go before you because I have to make some copies. Well, no kidding. We're all in line for the copy machine. We all have to make copies. There's no added information there, right? But she removed the reason, left in the word because, and compliance was still at 93%, just a slight decrease, right? A negligible difference, but still far, far higher than without the word because. She tried a bunch of different iterations, but ultimately that word because was the difference maker. So that's one example of some of the science behind some of these magic words, and I go into a lot of depth of how to use that, how to use what I call advanced because technique to get people to discover their own reasons, their own becauses, and how to apply this in marketing, how to apply this in management and motivation, how to apply this in parenting. And that's, again, just one of the chapters there that a lot of people find very, very helpful.
Tim, do you think some of our listeners might find this kind of, and, you know, I don't know if the word strategy is right, but, you know, this whole technique is somewhat manipulative or not?
Yeah, this is a challenging term that a lot of people have a hard time with. And, you know, I feel about this, like in the book I tell a story of Chris Hansen. He's a punter. And Jack Del Rio was the coach, and he had this this thing going on in the locker room where he had this giant log and an axe. And he said, every day, just take a couple of hacks at the log. We're just going to keep chopping wood. That was the motto for the team that year, just keep chopping wood. And, you know, this is basically an example of we have a tool, right? The axe is a tool, and it can be used for good, right? It can be used to, you know, build something wonderful, right? You know, to get the resources to build something wonderful, or it can be used for evil. It can be used as a weapon. You know, so in the hands of Paul Bunyan, an axe is a tool. In the hands of Lizzie Borden, the axe is a weapon. So the problem comes when we have the axe in the hand of Chris Hansen, the punter. Chris Hansen, the punter, during that year, keep chopping wood, took a hack at the log and missed. And he ended up hitting his leg. His leg is the most valuable part of his body. This is what his multi-million-dollar contract was all about, right? So he had to have emergency surgery. I mean, it was really bad situation. So he had a powerful tool, and it was wielded by an unskilled craftsman. And that's the challenge that a lot of people have. We have a powerful tool. We have words that we say, right? We have our body language that we use. We have our communication technique and our ability to connect with others. This is a very powerful tool. If you don't understand how to wield it, you can cause more harm than good. So when I teach people how to wield this tool, they often ask me, am I being manipulative by using this tool in an intelligent way? And I have a hard time understanding, like, you know what? What is the alternative? You know, are we going to use the tool, you know, by accident and just take an axe and swing it around like a crazy person, right? So I think that ultimately we have a responsibility as human beings to one another to understand the other person's perspective, right? What is this word? How does this word affect them, right? What is this word doing to their neurochemistry when I speak it to them? And when you understand that, certainly it is a power, and it is a tool, and that tool can be used for good, it can be used for evil. There are people who can take these techniques and use it to manipulate people. I certainly don't teach that. I don't say, here's what you can do in order to get juries to acquit guilty defendants or anything like that. You know, I don't teach those techniques in a negative or pejorative way. But that word manipulation is really a sticking point for a lot of people. And I think it really prevents people and holds people back from communicating with others and connecting with others in the most efficient, effective way.
That's good. You know, sometimes people ask me, who you know, sometimes I'm working with people about email marketing, copywriting and things, and sometimes they go, well, I don't want to be seen as pushy and things like that. And I think there's a parallel between what I tell them and kind of what you said here is, if you have earned the right to promote, then you should promote. In other words, I believe, first of all, as a marketer, you know, I deliver a ton of free value every day, every week. So on the three or four times a year when I'm promoting, I've earned the right to promote because I've been a giver first, part one. Part two is I deliver value. So, you know, like I said, when you're working with people, I'm imagining, look, if you're going to provide value and you believe what you have is a good resource, you know, something that's going to help people, then it behooves you to do your best job to help them understand that. Do you see the parallel there? Do you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. I people often tell me, man, your wife must hate you, you know, because I understand, you know, as a performer, when I'm on stage, I, you know, perform as a mentalist and, you know, I'm a magician who doesn't deal with cards or ropes or scarves or coins. I deal more with people people's thoughts and perceptions and those types of things. Not a psychic, never claimed psychic ability or anything like that. In fact, I tell people outright that I'm nothing supernatural. But people think, again, wow, you have this ability to sort of influence people, right? And your wife must drive your wife crazy. When in reality, what I have the ability to do, and I'm going to harp on this over and over again, is take the other person's perspective. Because true persuasion is not something that you do to someone else. True influence is not something that you do to someone else. Persuasion is a condition that you create, right? It's sort of a set of circumstances that you create, and then it kind of happens. So that's ultimately the main takeaway here, again, is the ability to understand the psychology of, for example, my wife, and to take her perspective and to understand her viewpoint, right? If you ask her, you know, this is something she truly appreciates, you know, about me, is the fact that I can do that, is take her perspective. So, I mean, I think I don't think this is earth-shattering. I think this is basic. I think this is common sense that has unfortunately fallen out of being common. You know, I think perspective taking is again something that's disappearing, and especially in light of the new insights that we have into psychology and neuroscience, we don't spend enough time understanding how our words, how our actions, how our marketing, how our brand is impacting or affecting the minds of the people around us.
It's awesome. Well, it's been a fast half hour, just my barometer of whether or not it's been a good interview. It's been great connecting with you again. Tim, I usually give people one website. I'm going to give you two. How can people learn more about you and all you're doing, and then what's the website where they can get this book?
Sure. Well, there is my blog, which is at brainpokes.com, brainpokes.com. And that's basically a weekly email that I send out to get my best stuff for free. This is all the research that I uncover. You know, right now I'm working on another book about body language, and there's all kinds of research I'm uncovering about that. That's going up on the weekly blog. Videos. In fact, I just posted a video on Tuesday about me at a presentation presenting about body language and how to use that to connect better with other people. And so that's brainpokes.com. That's free. Make sure you get on that. And then the book itself is magicwordsbook.com, and with that, I think there's four different bonuses that are included with the purchase of the book. There's a full-length body language course that's included for free. There is a PDF report called 19 Things Managers Should Never Say But Probably Do Anyway, and really just a bunch of goodies that are included in there just for the price of a single book. So definitely get on that as well, magicwordsbook.com.
Tim, thank you very much, man. It's been awesome connecting with you again. I wish you all the best, and I hope all my listeners buy your book.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate that.
Hey, folks, that wraps up this very special episode of Stick Like Glue Radio with magician, author, speaker, Tim David. Stick Like Glue is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. I am your host, Jim Palmer, your dream business coach, and I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. Be sure to check out dreambizacademy.com for information on my next live event, which is happening May 7th, 8th, and 9th. In beautiful San Diego, California, if you're an entrepreneur and want to grow a more profitable business faster, you need to be there. Again, all the details are at dreambizacademy.com. Okay, that is a wrap. Watch for another episode of Stick Like Glue Radio this time next week. Until then, keep taking action, keep moving forward, and don't ever, ever, ever give up. Now go out there and do something nice for somebody today. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Stick Like Glue Radio features Jim Palmer's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice for action-oriented entrepreneurs. To make sure you don't miss a single profit-boosting show, subscribe to this podcast at www.getjimpalmer.com. If you know other entrepreneurs looking for the fastest way to higher profits in their business, please tell them about the Stick Like Glue Radio podcast. Now go and implement what you've learned and boost your profits. See you next week for more Stick Like Glue Radio.